morning, we would like to study from the book of Genesis, chapter 5, from the life of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to verse 24. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. I would like to speak to you this morning on the topic, the man who walked with God, or walking with God. Many of you are familiar with the character Enoch. He was the father of the long-lived Methuselah, and also the grandfather of Noah. It is said of him that he walked with God after the birth of Methuselah, and he walked with God for 300 years. 300 years. That's a long time for a man to support a holy life and to keep his communion uninterrupted. And we read of no relapse worthy of notice. 300 years of walking with God. That's tremendous. Most Christians of our time find it so difficult to walk consistently even for a single day. Think of 300 years. Now, brethren, Enoch bears a wonderful testimony to all those who are struggling in their walk with God. It is possible for us, by His grace, to walk consistently and progressively with God until He takes us home. We don't have to live a defeated life. We don't have to be in the misery of sin. God is able to hold us together, keep us close to Him. He is able to hold our hands and walk with us. It's possible for you, my friend. So start this morning's devotion with a word of prayer in your hearts. Lord, enough of wanderings. I have gone astray, like sheep that go astray. I don't want to go away from Thee anymore. It's enough. I've suffered enough. I've been confused. I've been troubled. Keep me close to Thee, Lord. Talk to me today that I may know how to walk with Thee. There are some things that are very remarkable about the phrase, Enoch walked with God. A study of the biblical use of the term walk tells us that it is expressive of something more intimate than just taking a walk with God. A very wonderfully chosen word. Walk. Walk with God. It's pregnant with rich spiritual meaning. So it is my prayer that the Lord would help me to explain the meaning of walking with God in the light of the Scriptures. Firstly, it suggests that there is no enmity between God and Enoch. There was no conflict. They were friends. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, we read this manner. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, it's impossible for two enemies to walk together. The scriptures in many places assert that the mind of the unconverted natural man is a carnal, sinful mind, and therefore it is at enmity with God. Let me read to you Romans 8, 7 to affirm that fact. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So everyone who is lost in his sin, walks not with God. God is his enemy. So God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to himself. All of Adam's children are enemies of God until they are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. I believe Enoch looked forward, he himself being a prophet, seeing the promised Messiah. He believed on the coming Messiah who would die for the sins of the whole world. Enoch walked in faith in Christ, the promised Messiah. And that's why he could walk with God himself. This is an amazing thought, my friends. An infinite God, an eternally holy God, opening a way for mortal beings such as you and I are, condemned sinners, to come close to him through the cross of his Son. So walking with God not only implies that the prevailing power of enmity of a man's heart is taken away, but also that a person is actually reconciled to God the Father in and through the all-sufficient righteousness and atonement of Jesus Christ. Now in Jesus' righteousness, we can walk with God. Our own sins are nailed to the cross. So the sins will not come between God and me, God and you. Praise God, for our sins are rolled away. They're all taken away once and for all. Nothing to separate me from my God. I can walk with him. I can walk with him that like Enoch walked. Yes, my friend, only if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be no doubt in your heart about this. Let me read some of the verses that I think are relevant at this point. See how through Jesus Christ we are all reconciled to God. Christ is our peace. Listen to these verses I'm going to read. You can jot down if you like and meditate upon it when you get back home. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Listen to this. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Again, watch out for the word reconciliation there. To wit, that God was in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Lord took away our sins. He does not impute our sins on us anymore, but he imputes his righteousness on us, and he gives us the word of reconciliation. In other words, he stretched forth his hand of love and says, peace to you. Come, walk with me. That's what Jesus does to us. Don't forget, dear believers, you are welcome to walk with the mighty God. His words to you is peace in Jesus Christ. I'm very excited. I don't care how long I live, but I just want to walk with Him the rest of my life. It's a privilege I cannot buy with my money. It's a privilege no man can ever give. No one. It is graciously given to me. I will not let that go from my heart. You shouldn't, my friend. God has come to save us and to walk with us. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We can walk with Jesus on earth and then we will walk in heaven with Him. He will never forget us. Once He start walking with us, He will be our friend all the way till we reach home. What a gracious God. What a gracious gift. What a wonderful blessing. So walking with God, first of all, tells us God has put away the enmity that existed between Him and us. Now we are His friends, His children. He holds our hands. Oh, for a closer walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Secondly, my brethren, the word walk with God in its use in the Scriptures refers to an abiding communion of fellowship with God. Now, you can't walk with a person without having some kind of fellowship and communion. Can you imagine you travel for 300 years with a person and never talk? It's not possible. Well, husbands and wives, we know if our spouses don't talk to us for 1 hour, how miserable it is. You can't live with God without having a communion. He is most interested to have fellowship with you. Even when all other communication around us breaks down, God will deal with us mercifully and lovingly. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, John the Apostle said this. You are familiar with this text, but let me just read it to enhance our thought of walking with God as having fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship with God and fellowship with God's Son and His people. Everyone who walk in the light of God, in the light of His salvation, in the light of His Word, can be assured God is going to communicate. When I look into my life, as a Christian, as a pastor, I wonder what's the best way of describing it. But I can say this morning, without doubt, my journey with God is a journey of much fellowship with Him. When I think everything is crushing my spirit, there He comes with a promise and He cheers me up. When I have no strength to talk to anybody and tell my problems, there He sends His Spirit to cry, Abba, Father. And I go to Him in prayer. He never leaves me alone. He never leaves me alone. Whether it's in need or in poverty or in wealth or in sickness or in health, oh, my Lord is with me. And He talks with me. He wants us to be in tune with Himself. Enoch maintained such a fellowship with God for 300 years. So should every child of God, we must keep a close walk, a close communion with God. A Christian must draw, listen to this please, a Christian must draw his pleasure and comfort not from his friends in this world, but from his God. Enoch is a lesson to us. We are not told that Enoch walked with rich men and celebrities of this world. You may, but that is not the most prominent thing in God's servant's life. In the life of a child of God, the most noticeable thing should be that he walks with God, that he talks with God, that he is in constant communion with his God. Can it be told of you, my friend? Maybe you are known for your communion with the TV. Or maybe you are known for your communion and time that you spend with things that are rather abominable to God. Let nothing precede your fellowship with God. Firstly, when we talk about this close communion with God, I want to stress on the importance of prayer. Prayer is a time of fellowship with God. The child of God must view the daily seasons of prayer as sweet and wonderful. So the man who walks with God speaks with God, telling him of all his doubts and fears, struggles and sufferings, all his desires and complaints, and receives God's kind exhortations and comforting answers in return. So we sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often find relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Believers, keep up and maintain your walk with God by secret prayer. A neglect of secret prayer has been frequently an inlet to many spiritual diseases and has been attended with fatal consequences. And I can tell you that as a pastor. I've seen that in the lives of so many people who do not pray, who do not give any attention to fellowship groups in the church. They keep themselves, keep to themselves or keep to the world, and soon they plunge into terrible spiritual maladies. And we can never bring them back until they learn to spend their time with God. Praying always, says Apostle Paul, with all manner of supplication. That's what we ought to do. I remember a story told by Charles Spurgeon in one of his sermons, which I read some time ago. And this story was about a good man in Scotland who was on his deathbed for a very long time. And that sick Christian was visited by a friend. Seeing the terrible distress of the suffering Christian, the friend felt very dejected. But the Christian turned to him and said these words, "Could these curtains or could these walls speak, they would tell you what sweet communion I have had with my God right here. So my friend, do not despair. My God is with me right here." Oh, prayer. Prayer. It brings and keeps God and man together. It raises man up to God and brings God down to man. God walks with His people. And He communes with them when they reach Him through prayer. If you have been there, you would like to be there again. You've been praying. This is one time, one period of your life that you never want to miss again. Be much in secret prayer, my friends. And when you are about the common business of life, be much in sudden ejaculatory prayers. Be quick in prayer. We may be cooking. We may be driving. We may be busy trying to solve the accounts of our company. We may be fixing somebody's problem. We may be counseling. We may be doing surgeries. We may be helping a doctor. We may be teaching students. But always do all things in prayer. Do these things with God by your side. With God helping you. With God empowering you for His own glory. How wonderful to do everything that God has given to us with His presence around us. With the knowledge He is with us. You don't need self-confidence. What you need is God-confidence. If you trust in yourself, you soon will give up because you have no strength of your own. It's Christ who can strengthen us. So be always in prayer. Cry unto Him all the time. Not necessarily you must have a big need before you pray. Even things that are familiar to you, when it is done with the knowledge that God is enabling me to do it, you will do it a lot more better than you ever imagined. Because He is able to give us more than we ask or imagine. Stay close to Him, my friends. And the second thing you must remember when we talk about having communion with God as we walk with Him is that we must listen to His voice. Not only communicate to Him in prayer, but also receive the answers through His word. Jesus told while He was on earth in John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the scriptures, you will meet me there. I am in my word. Thank the Lord for His infallible, inerrant word that God has preserved and placed in our hands. Search it, my friend. We don't believe in a doctrine without its blessings. We believe that God has given His inspired word because He preserved it. And the reason why we believe it is because God has promised He will guide us by His word. You remember what the scripture says in Psalm 119:105? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Lord has given us a word to guide us, to lead us. So when we listen to God's word every morning, when we read God's word, and when we digest it by faith, and let it flow through our hands and our legs as we obey it, God is guiding us. We are following Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And when we follow God in obedience to His word, oh, it will be said of us, "Here is a man who walks with God. There is a woman who walks with God. There is a young man, a young lady. There is a child who walks with God, because he reads my word, because he prays to me, because he doesn't undertake anything that is contrary to my truth. That's my child. I rejoice to have him to walk with me." Thirdly, walking with God is a description of the life of a believer. The manner of a believer's life. The word walk is often used to describe this. I have a list of verses in front of me, and I want to read them all to you. Because this is not the complete list of verses in the New Testament where the word walk appears to describe the believer's life, but some of those. Now, let me start by saying, when the word walk is used to describe a Christian's life, it is used to talk about the new life, the new manner of his life. For example, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4 says this, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so," listen to this, "we also should walk in newness of life." Walk in the newness of life. We don't walk like the way we walked before we knew Christ. We hate that way of life because it's destructive. It keeps us away from God. But when we walk as we obey Christ, we will have a newness in our life. The way we talk to our spouses, the way we treat our children, the way we talk to our parents, all will be different. It will be according to God's will. The way we show our regard for others will be the way God wants it to be. Everything will change. There will be a newness about our life. You know, I can't understand why people who have known the Lord Jesus Christ would like to go back to the old ways and again feel this miserable sensation within them. Oh, why am I this kind of Christian? Yesterday evening, I was talking to a teenager who has been coming to our church for some years, and I have baptized him because he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the last 6 months, I have not seen him. He gives me great respect. Whenever I call him, he will say, "Pastor, thank you for calling." I said, "Good, thank you, but you know, no point saying thank you to me when you are away from the Lord. My heart is very troubled to see you like this." Then he said, "Pastor, it's so difficult. I don't know how to get out of this. I want to come back, but it's so difficult." Then I asked him, "If the Lord comes now, where will he be?" Well, I don't know what to say. How are you feeling about your life? Very miserable. "So why are you still there?" "Pastor, I don't know. I want to come back. But somehow, I'm not feeling comfortable to come over." "So why is that you don't feel comfortable?" "Because I already start walking with some people, some friends. I've made plans with them for the next 6 months. Saturday and Sunday, I have basketball games, soccer games. And I'm also joining some internet games and so on. How to come out of this?" I said, "Who is important to you? Do they love you as Christ loved you?" He said, "Think about it." He told me one thing. Though he thinks this is enjoyable, he's very miserable in his heart. He has no peace. He's troubled. I said, "I will pray for you. But let me tell you, there is nothing like walking with God. There is newness. There is exuberance. There is great blessing in your life. Now his parents are complaining that he's not studying, wasting all his time with his friends. And they are very worried. They have invested so much money in his life. Tuition upon tuition. Only child, give him everything he wanted. And parents are so worried that where he will end up." I said, look at your parents. See how troubled they are. When you were coming to church, they were happy. They were looking toward your growth in Christ. When you were baptized, your unbelieving father came and witnessed. Your auntie and uncle also came. They are non-Christians, but they saw a change in you. Now you go back. It's terrible. And you yourself are miserable, and people around you are miserable. Why like this? He said, Pastor, I know one thing. I must come back. Please pray. I want to come back. I said, okay. But don't wait. You know, dear friends, there is no wonderful experience outside Christ. It's enough that we walked in the ways of the Gentiles, the unbelievers. It's time that we walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. We walk by faith. You know, one thing about walking with God is that God will not tell you all the details of the blessings that are going to come. But He will promise you that He will be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God's promise will be with you. The excitement of it are still for you to discover. It's coming along the way. When people start to walk with God, they will see His power working through them. How they become an example. How they are able to win others for Christ. But when a Christian backslides from God, they realize they are becoming rather a burden and pain in many people's lives. Come back and walk by faith. The Lord can use you to bless many others, and you will experience that blessing as well. So how to keep that walk consistent with God? Well, Romans 1:8 tells us, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The same truth is taught in Romans 8:4 and Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has given us the Holy Spirit. When He rebukes you of your sin, oh, immediately repent and walk the way the Spirit leads you. And if you are a man who has yielded his life to the guidance of the blessed Spirit that God has given, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You will not. Ask yourself, who are you following? You know, sometimes people tell me, Pastor, I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like talking to so-and-so. I don't feel like forgiving so-and-so. I don't want to see these people's face. I'm irritated. And I have this strange feeling within me. I hate them. I don't want church. I don't want any Christian fellowship. I'm going to stay away. Now, please stop talking to me about your feelings. You want to know my feelings is worse than yours. Nowhere in the Bible says, walk according to your feelings. Boy, if we walk according to feelings, I think there will be a lot of dead bodies around. Stop doing it. Start doing what the Scripture says. Walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Blessed Spirit. The Comforter who came from heaven. You know, He will change us. He will give us victory over the miserable, sinful passions that we have. Walk not after the lust of the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So listen to a few more verses I'm going to quickly read. If you walk according to the Spirit, then this is what going to be the outcome. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Walk honestly as children of light. Not in the nightclubs, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not dancing away our time, wasting our life in the lust of the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, walking honestly, truthfully before God. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When we walk in the Spirit, we will be told not to be hypocrites. Don't handle the Word of God deceitfully, but don't walk in craftiness. You know, one of the things about modern churches is that people love to go to church because it's nice. It feels good. But the problem with the modern church is that they deny the power of godliness. There's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hypocrisy! Because they say, God loves me, so no matter what I do, He still loves me. Oh, God is gracious, and I give God an opportunity to show more grace by sinning more. So they use God's word to justify their wicked ways. Oh, we are told, those who walk in the Spirit, those who walk with God, cannot walk in craftiness. That is to say, handling the word deceitfully. We must be honest. My Lord is speaking to me. God says to you, walk this way. And if you are walking with God, can you say, okay, Lord, you go ahead. I will catch up with you. Let me go and take a look. What's happening in the pub tonight? You can't. But some people like to engage in all kinds of sinful activities and then come on Sunday, very holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, they sing, and get out and live the way they want. That is not walking with God. If you don't walk with God on earth, you are not going to walk with Him in eternity to come. Make no mistake about it. And we are also told, walk in love, Ephesians 5:2. As Christ also hath loved us. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. Love is not impurity. There is no sin in love. Love is pure. Godly love. It doesn't rejoice in evil. Today people fall into adulterous relationship and they call it love affair. You shouldn't be calling it love affair. You should be calling it lust affair. Love is pure. If you say you love, love as Christ loved us. Why did Jesus love us? To sanctify us. To purge us from our sin and make us stand before God pure, spotless, without wrinkle. That's the love we must have if we walk with God. It's not easy to love another. It's not easy to love our spouses. It's not easy to love our children. It's tough. It's hard. It's hard. Sin makes it very difficult. But with God, you can love. You need God to love someone. Pastors need God's grace to love the people in the church. Last night, somebody who called me very late, who decided to leave the church, said, Pastor, I know it's very hard to be a pastor, but I'm leaving. Take care, all right? I wanted to tell the person, oh, you love me so much, huh? And walk away. Well, no, I love you. I like your preaching. I like the church. I have no problem with anyone, but I want to just walk away. I want to take a break. Break from what? You know, Pastor, after a while, it's hard to see the same people and do the same thing, you know. Hey, it's not easy to be a husband for 50 years or 30 years. If you have been a good husband for 10 years, let me tell you, next 10 will be very hard, all right? If you have been a father for 20 years, the next 30 years can be very difficult. You need God, His Spirit, who shed abroad our hearts, the love of God, to help us to maintain our duties in the most excellent way. Only people who walk with God can do it all in the most excellent way. I thank God, God is with me, so I can be a good husband, a good father, a good pastor in time to come. If my Lord is not with me, finished. I have no hope. It's all despair and misery. Walk in love as Christ walked, as Christ loved us. Thank God He's with us. We are also told in Ephesians 5:8, walk in the light. Ye are in the light, walk as children of light. That means as holy and pure as Christ is. So, I've told you the word walk talks about our friendship, our reconciliation to God through Christ. Secondly, it tells us that we can have communion with God, praying, hearing His voice through the Word. And thirdly, it tells us we can walk with Him in His power, in His holiness, in His wisdom, so we may show the newness of life which God alone can give to us. We don't have to be marred by sins of this world. We don't have to be destroyed by the world's ungodliness. We can be built up in the most holy faith. And that's possible because God is walking with us. So start walking with Him. Stay close to Him. And finally, I want to tell you, it pays to walk with God. It's glory just to walk with Him. In other words, a person who walks with God will walk. He moves from one point to another. He is not stuck. He's not stagnant. He's not a mediocre Christian. He is ever growing, ever progressing. God moves. When God moves, His plans are unveiled bit by bit, and He progresses. Our God never goes backward. He is always going forward. His plans are wonderful. Time and tide wait for no man, because God is moving forward. His plans are being accomplished. You and I must move forward. We can't get stuck. We can't live a mediocre life. We have to be more productive. We must be more fruitful. We must be soul winners. Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." How many souls did you win? None? Ha. 10? Good. But how about 100? Nowadays, I say this in Gethsemane BP Church, and this is true experience and the true testimony of my heart. About 2 years ago, while I was listening to some Christian hymns, suddenly, one of the hymns that I heard made a great impression in my heart. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And it kept echoing in my ears. So now I say to the people in the church, God has called us to be fishers of men. Let's pray, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It's possible because Jesus said, follow me, walk with me. I will make you what? Fishers of men. I don't want to die without winning souls for Christ. Which fisherman will go into the sea and cast his net and say, it's okay even if I don't get any fish? Every fisherman goes into the sea, cast his net, so he may bring back a net full of fish. Correct? That's my prayer. I don't want to see my Lord's face when He sits on the throne without winning souls for Him. The purpose that I have, the purpose which God has given to me when He saved me and appointed me to be a preacher, is that I win souls for Him. And I know I can't do it, but He is with me. He said, follow me. Walk with me. A person that walks, no matter how slowly he walks, he still makes progress. Christians, maybe some problems hindered your Christian life. Maybe things have distracted you. But come on, wake up. And say, here I start walking. Soon you will see making progress. Maybe you didn't want to attend youth fellowship. Maybe you didn't want to attend prayer meeting. But start today. Stand up and say, Lord, I want to come for this Tuesday night's prayer meeting. I want to walk with you. I want to be in the company of those who walk with you. Those who pray. Those who fellowship with God by studying God's word. I want to be with them. I want to be with the pilgrims who are walking all the way to heaven. I don't want to be people who go away from you to the eternal flames of hell. Can you say that? Stand up in faith. We walk not by sight, by faith. God can help you. He will not abandon you. Also believe that the Lord will be with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That is His pleasure. There is nothing more so wonderful in God's heart than He walks with us and we walk with Him. It is for that purpose He sent His Son and called Him Emmanuel. Let's walk with Him. You know, if you read Jude's epistle, Jude has certain words about Enoch. Verses 14 and 15. Let me quickly read to you. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Here Jude says, Enoch prophesied that the Lord will come with 10,000s of His saints. The Lord gave him an extraordinary vision of the future. The Lord helped him to see the future glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and reign the world for 1,000 years. Well, Enoch is gone. The Lord took him. He's waiting to come down with the Savior. How interesting that God let Enoch in on scenes of the end time. Doesn't it pay to walk with God? It certainly does. Only those who walk with Him below will walk with Him above. We can walk on a higher plane with God until He takes us to His own presence. Truly, in my conclusion, let me affirm this. Walking with God is a very honorable thing. And there is nothing more honorable for a Christian than that he walk with his God. As it is an honorable thing, it is also a pleasing thing to God that we walk with Him. And the wisest of men, not only in the Bible, but even the history of the Christian church, have taught us by their life that a life spent in communion with God is the pleasantest life in the world. A life that is spent in communion with God is the most glorious life on earth. And it is my prayer that when we all finish our lives on this earth, it will be said of us that this man walked with God. If anything would be written on my gravestone, I don't want one, but if anybody erect one, I pray that they will be able to write on that gravestone, this man walked with God. I seek no other pleasure but my God in my life. I wish and pray that all of you will stand up in faith and ask Him now, Lord, take my hand. Let me walk with Thee. Amen.